love. It's alright if you don't. I'm not afraid of you running away, honey. I get the feeling you hold. There is no sense in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside you is feeling like I do. Is it all there is to say?
Delightful and enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, good Janine.
Hi there. Happy to be here. All smiles.
Yeah, me and Janine are flying today, everybody. There is tremendous energy being radiated, and I love it. Everybody that we're attracting to the show tonight, I just can feel truly a tremendous impact of presence. And I can't wait. Me and Janine are both going to share with you the journey that we've had. For me, it's basically been since last week. The George Kavafalis roundtable definitely triggered me, as it happens to me every time I do a George show. And the journey that got me to today is such an exquisite living example of the journey we all have the potential to take, and it really is just an honor for me to be able to share it with you guys and for Janine to share it, because these are game changers in the definition of how we see our lives, game changers. One of the biggest game changers for me this past week was listening to myself doing the George interview, as well as the following week, last week's Mystical Mother Earth show, and just inside cringing, going, oh my God, Goldie, your radio presence is, it sucks. I mean, I just was in the midst of going through a transformation, like everybody. But, of course, when you're recording it on a radio show, you know, which normally wouldn't bother me so much, but, of course, I had to listen to the George show again because I had it was a pre-record that I had to make sure went off without a hitch. So that there was added stress involved with that, plus the blue moon. And in my humble opinion, there seems to be a tremendous amount of effort by the powers that be to really try and put us in tilt. Like if we have a mustard seed of fear in us, it is so obvious to me that that can quickly explode into a mountain. I mean, if we don't put ourselves in check with very simple tools, which we're definitely going to speak about tonight, that reconnect us back into our soul, back into the present, and back into the flow, which exists when we're in our soul and in our present. Because, you know, it really feels to me that the journey that I, you know, that I'm going on, it's so wonderful. You know, of course, today I played the song. It's called Breakdown by Tom Petty. Incredibly poignant in the whole idea. Breakdown, it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, you know, that isn't revealed to, you know, everybody, is that we break down and then we break through. I mean, you know, Janine will definitely share on this because she has, you know, that mystical way of, you know, articulating just the simplicity of when we go through. But, you know, she said to me today, you know, would you really know how great the breakthrough was if you didn't break down first? And, you know, in a dualistic dimension, which we are presently still in, but that's a big but. I am talking baby got back big but.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also the truth that we need to know now that we can gracefully, literally move out of the dimension of duality, even though our physical bodies might still be here. You know, it might look like we're still in the third dimension, but with very simple tools and working very consciously in segmenting and breaking down your daily experiences, it really is quite miraculous, but you can absolutely raise yourself out of the duality of fear and the feeling of being spun around. Or like my metaphor was, I felt like a cork in the middle of the ocean and just getting bounced around and bopped around, feeling tremendously insecure and afraid. That was such the standing out highlight of what I was feeling last week. I mean, me and Scott had just got back together after 26 days of being separated. I was afraid I was going to lose him. I was afraid I wasn't meant to do radio. I was afraid I was going to be abducted by aliens and you know, my body was going to be exposed to certain gynecological things, and there was going to be embarrassment that other people were going to see this. I mean, it was like a tremendous, tremendous, crazy fear I was living in. And, you know, ironically, the tools that I used that helped me get through all of it were very simple tools. And Janine has helped me tremendously, as she always does. One of the biggest tools she helps me to remember, and I can't stress this enough with everybody, when you know you're in the spin and you know you're in absolute, you can feel yourself kind of ping-ponging. You know, you go from fear, you know, to moments of presence. What Janine recommended, and it works absolutely, is segmenting your day, segmenting your time. And for me, I was breaking it down into hours, where I just had to get to the next hour. I didn't have to get beyond that, because in all honesty, it was freaking me out trying to get to the next 5 minutes. So there are also times when I'm just so panicked, I'm breaking it down to literally just the now moment, where Eckhart Tolle has this this technique, which I want to share with you guys. And, you know, Janine, pop in anytime you want to. So
sure, I'm
I'll just,
you know,
I can talk for an hour at this. So
no, I'm enjoying
it.
Yeah.
Okay, right on. Okay, so Eckhart Tolle has a very simple technique. And what he basically says is, if all our consciousness is in our head, our consciousness then has the strength to create thought. So if you take your consciousness and place it in your body, in the presence of your body, it serves two purposes. One, it brings you into the present moment. It brings you into your body. And you literally don't have enough consciousness in your head to create thought, which, you know, like, the more I'm learning how to find my peace and my center, the more I'm understanding the critical importance of knowing how energy works, how the anatomy of energy and consciousness play out in our bodies. Because, oh, how funny, if we place consciousness in our body, we don't have enough of it in our heads to create a thought. I mean, this is Dr. Seuss simple. I just found that amazing. And it's very simple, and I want us all to try this right now. Okay, so what I want everybody to do is shut your eyes. You know, just take some nice deep breaths. It's so simple. It's beautiful. Okay, what I want you to do is focus on your hands. It can be your left hand, your right hand, or both your hands. It doesn't matter. But focus on your hands with your eyes shut. And when you get the feeling that you know your hand is there because you can feel your hand without looking at it, you're there. I mean, that really is this incredible, magical gift, because I'll tell you, when your mind is spinning in a panicked situation about whatever, but we're going to talk about like the insights I got about, I'm very clear on what I was panicking about, and I'll share it. But when you're in a panic situation, for me, what I do is I put my hand either on my belly or on my heart, left or right. It depends on what I'm doing at the time. And then I'll just shut my eyes and go, feel your hand, Goldie, feel your hand. And when I feel my hand, I get a deep, warm sensation. You know, it's definitely, it's a radiance. Because I'm feeling the essence, the life force in my hand. I'm not feeling necessarily the blood or the plasma. I'm just, by knowing my hand is there, I don't know, I would maybe suggest if you're feeling the skin in your nails, I think that could be a start, but I would keep going until you can feel, it's literally the consciousness of your hand that emanates your hand. And anybody who's out there who's an energy worker, if you do energy work using your hands, it's so easy, for me anyways, to get this awareness in me. And when I do that, if my hand is on my heart or my belly, I immediately become aware of my heart or my belly, because the warmth in my hand then activates the warmth in wherever place I have it. So I'm like, okay, now I'm aware of my belly. And I'm telling you, in those moments, I'll tell you, when I was panicking about being abducted, I was lying in my bed. I had me and Scott had gotten into a fight. I ended up going home, and this was within the first 3 days that we got back together. So, you know, I had things to worry about with him, but there were some things that were just kind of taking over. The fear of being abducted was taking over me. And when I did this small, easy presence practice, literally what would come into my awareness is, Goldie, you're okay. You know, you are so okay. Relax. You know, everything's going to be okay. It wasn't giving me the answers to my future. It didn't say, no, you're not going to be abducted. It's not a logical conversation. It is the presence that all is well at all times. I mean, and it is very powerful, because I was using it the whole time. Then I would go on to fear about Scott leaving me again, or, you know, not being lovable, or being a young person. Part of my fear this past week was that I was totally resonating with the animals that we do lab experiments on, because essentially what is going on with these abductees from alien agendas. And it's not just alien agendas, by the way. It is also the military is very much... When the military knows that somebody's been abducted by an alien, I'm not quite sure how they know, but they tend to know when there has been contact. Then the military comes in and starts doing their agendas. And I had this total feeling of, like, wow, what the white rat must feel, mm-hmm. You know, when we're splitting its head open and taking its brains out and putting probes on to see if it'll, you know, knock the red button for a piece of food or knock the green button and get shocked. You know, just it was such a deep experience into the vulnerability of one level of truth of who we are. And that truth is we are the animal experiments to alien agendas. Now, but that is not the whole truth, which is what the hand on my heart and the hand on my belly, that voice was telling me, you know, through presence, everything is okay. Everything is okay. And it really was a ping pong experience because I could hold that presence for a minute, maybe a minute and a half. Then I'd spin for like 3 minutes, and then I'd literally say to myself, well, just do it again, Goldie. And this is what I mean by I say, break down your experience into the now moment. That right now, can I find my center? And I'll tell you, because I hurt my back last week too. I hurt my back. I just wrenched it moving the covers on my bed, pulling the covers up to my bed. So I wasn't able to go to the water park with Alana. It kind of whacked me out. I didn't go to the woods for like 5 days in a row. And then finally, over the weekend, I was like, I have to go to the woods. I mean, I realized, okay, listen, I'm not going to put the backpack on. I'm not going to go. I normally, when I go to the woods, go pretty far into the woods, and I go off path because I like my privacy in the woods. I mean, I don't really want to socialize with, you know, the hikers going by or, you know, whatever. They're nice enough people. I just don't want to socialize. But this time it was like my back was hurting, and I was like, I walked like 11 steps into the woods. I found this very, you know, nice place that had a rock that I could lean against. The road was right there, and I was going, I could hear my thoughts going, this is never going to work. I'm too close to the road, and I'm not going to find the peace that I need, because in my mind I was seeing all the things that were going wrong. And I'll tell you, it was like about 30, 35 minutes in, it just happened. I mean, I dropped into a presence that was so empowering. I mean, I just immediately became filled up from within. I was, the energy that was tangled up and expressing itself as a ping pong, you know, experience and a cork, you know, bouncing around. None of that was existence in my existence anymore. I mean, I literally was like, okay, I know what I need to, you know, I know who I am. Scott was kind of like, as I was in this fear, I was very much reacting to Scott. And I was, you know, like, you know, when an animal's in fear, it's very defensive and, you know, it's far from a relaxed, centered being. You know, it's in fear and it's lashing out. And, you know, it's kind of like, I guess, a protective mode. You know, screw you. I'll screw you before you can screw me because, you know, I don't feel safe to begin with. So I'm just going to screw you. And he was saying to me, why are you being so mean to me? And I'm like, listen, you know, this has nothing to do with you other than you're being affected by it. But I am going through something deep and traumatic. And, you know, why am I doing this? I don't have a fucking clue why I'm doing this, but I can't stop myself from doing this. And then I went to the woods. And when I came home back to Scott's house that day, I swear the humility was there, the compassion, the desire to treat him well and, you know, make dinner with no expectations. You know, he doesn't have to talk to me. He can talk to me. It was just, it was such a different experience, and it's starting to show me, because it wasn't my breakthrough. That wasn't my breakthrough. It was one of my breakthroughs, because actually I think I went to the woods on Thursday, and then I made sure I went to the woods again on Friday. In fact, I woke up at 5:55 and immediately got the hit, start your day with the frequency of what you know yourself to be when you're in those woods. Don't even question anything else. You know, it was 6:30 in the morning. I was in the woods, again, only, you know, 10 paces in. because I still could tell I didn't have a confidence that I know when the breakthrough happens, because when the breakthrough happens, I'm confident in myself. When I'm in confusion and chaos, oh my God, it is such a, you know, I'm sure everybody on the line right now knows when they're in chaos. And I am, one of the things I'm learning, okay, so let's now get to, this is one of the insights that I got, which triggered my chaos. And it was, first of all, the breakup with Scott that happened earlier in July, or actually like July 26th, something like that, that I broke up with Scott because I got it into my head. Scott's mom has dementia, the beginnings of dementia or Alzheimer's. And I got it into my head. I put a scenario into my being, like into my program, that she was going to be in diapers and bedridden and perhaps IVs needing to go in and out of her arm. And it was going to be all on me being, quote unquote, the girl, that I was going to have to, you know, change her bedding, change her diapers, potentially put in, you know, needles into her, you know, blood work, whatever. I honestly scared the crap out of myself. And not only did I scare the crap out of myself, I reacted to that fear and broke up with Scott. I said, listen, I just can't do this. I mean, and it was so funny because me and Scott definitely go through breakups. In the 5 years that we've known each other, we have broken up several times. And both of us really recognized that this breakup was very different than any breakup we've ever had. And one of the big differences was it was me instigating this breakup. I think in most of the breakups, well, I've instigated some, but there was something, there was a flavor in this. And the flavor was I was petrified of a future, and let's make note, this is a key part of this, of a future that hasn't even happened yet. Mm-hmm. And I was responding like it was in my past. You know, like somehow I already knew it was there, and by golly, I'm not going through that. Now, that was the first thing that I recognized, that, wow, when I project myself into any future scenarios of any kind, I immediately lose my center and I lose my presence and I lose that peaceful feeling. And I invite everybody, when, you know, they say if you're projecting into the future, you know, it used to show up as just worry, you know, like, I mean, I was a worrier, not a warrior, a worrier. Pretty much my entire, you know, from 13 years old until I was, you know, like 30, it ruled my life. I just worried about everything. I mean, just everything. And it's so interesting because when I don't know how many people on the line heard the George interview, but me and Janine caught it actually in the interview. We were talking about integrating our shadow side. And like three or four times, I referenced myself as Cindy, not as Goldie, but Cindy, which is my birth name. And it started like I could see this unfolding where the fear that I was experiencing starting last week, which was triggered by reading Carla Turner's books about the people being abducted, was literally bringing me back to a time in my life when everything scared me. And it was the energy that I felt helpless and powerless. And there was this amazing thing happening because Janine was clearly coaching me through this process going, you know, I understand that you're feeling this, but this is, you know, that's what used to be. You can't ignore the ideas or the facts that you know how to deal with this kind of situation now. You're no longer 13 years old worrying about stuff. You have the wisdom at 47, you know, to know, put your hand on your heart. Think about the presence of your hand. I mean, you know, I know how to breathe. I know how to visit the woods. I know how to own my situation and not project my problems and make them all about Scott. You know, it's like And it was like, you know, as I started understanding, not just understanding, it's really deeper than that. As I started remembering that I had these tools, this is what struck me so profoundly. From the time I was 18 till I was 30, I did cocaine. That's 12 years. From the time I was 32 until I was 42, I did a technique called Holosync, which in a nutshell, every 3 months would put my brain into a scrambled, chaotic state to help me progress to a new level. So ultimately, every time fear came up in my life for the last 27 years, I've always dealt with it. You know, the drugs were the way, you know, I didn't want to feel it. I mean, cocaine is clearly, let's go numb, everybody. You know, and of course, the problems never disappear. It's just that you ultimately, in that moment, don't feel them and don't care. And the Holosync was like this mental, it was my mental definition of, if I can take my own experience and intentionally do chaos, then chaos can never sneak up on me and whack me over the head. I mean, that is literally what I thought. So I kept myself in chaos intentionally for 10 years. You know, it's like, I'm telling you, when I think about that now going, wow, what a whack job I am. I mean, like, but it was the experience I needed to have. Because the clarity that I got this time was, okay, listen, here's the one thing you've never tried, Goldie. How about you just sit with it? How about you take the fear and you put your hand on your belly and you bring yourself to be in the woods? And beyond that, you do absolutely nothing. Because what is becoming so incredibly, like, I mean, as clear as the spotlight that shines into the sky, you know, when they have those opening premieres of a, you know, movie like they used to in like the 1940s, it became so incredibly clear to me that in the organic path, the organic ascension, that we can actually go through a lot of these shifts that we're going through, and we are going through them, that the triggers are... It's not about avoiding the triggers. But for me, it's about going through them gracefully. What is the most graceful way I can integrate this and I can have a breakthrough and have a new awareness and a new sense of self and a deeper confidence in my own beingness? And that literally comes down to, well, you can sit there and feel it, Goldie. Just feel the fear. But don't respond. This is what I'm needing to learn, that, you know, I tend to be a knee-jerk responder, and that's because I programmed my brain, or I have been programmed. The brain literally wants to respond quickly. It's like you have a situation and the brain goes, okay, quickly, you know, take cover. You know, military, out, you know. Prepare for battle. You know, it's like that's all the quote unquote instincts that our conditioning trains us. And I'll tell you, it becomes the reaction to our fear that becomes that which screws with our lives so much more than the fear itself. Because remember, my fear has been projection into the future. I have, first of all, I love Scott's mother, so I have no idea if a year from now she's going to need this help, if she's even going to be on the planet a year from now, not that I'm wishing her not to be, but let's be honest, none of us know if we're going to make tomorrow. You know, it's like, because what's my truth right now? My truth right now is, you know, I'm very glad me and Scott have truly patched things up. I haven't, you know, people have asked me, why, how come you're not married to Scott on Facebook? And me and Scott are definitely still coupled, but I'm going to wait till New Year's Eve, and I want to do another ceremony, and that's when I choose to, you know, change the status that we're married. Because one of the things I got in that 26-day period when we were separated is that I'm somebody new coming into this relationship. Because that's that's the essence of every integration period we go through. Everything we integrate, it does, it changes us on so many levels. We are not the same person that we were prior to that integration. And to truly trust that, it really is the understanding of, it's like we're literally mini born agains, little mini things that will ultimately lead to the organic ascension, which is the major born again. Okay. Oh, and by the way, did I thank Seneca?
No.
Okay, wait, I just want to, Seneca, I love you, and I want you to comment, and then I want to comment on what Seneca shared something with me that was so profound. She's a loyal listener and just somebody very dear to my heart. You guys are all dear to my heart. Seneca really helped me understand. Oh, can I just share that right now? Do you mind if I just share that real quick?
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying this.
I love you. Okay, so Seneca, because she lives in the Netherlands or Iceland. Seneca lives far away.
The Netherlands.
So she doesn't listen live because it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm totally cool with that. So she told me she was going to be listening to the show, and I was like, you know, do me a favor. You know, just let me know how I sound, because I'm in a space where I think my communication is shot, and I'm just not communicating well. And this was from last week's show. So Seneca wrote me a response that was so poignant. It's really amazing. Okay, I'm going to start crying. Okay, so Seneca doesn't speak English. Well, not too well. She writes English better than she speaks it, and she can understand, I would say, you know, pieces of the things that I share and pieces of the thing Janine shares. And what she shared was that it's the energy that she feels and that it's never not been there. You know, she's like, I get your meaning because I feel your meaning, not necessarily because I understand the words you're saying, which was, of course, the miraculous. I'm so worried that I'm stuttering and I can't put two words together in a sentence because during this transformation, my brain felt unplugged from every synapse in my brain. And you know what? But the intention never changed. My focus of wanting to share my journey and my authenticity of what is actually happening, all of that. Remember when I was talking about the sometimes with the character in the play, but we can also expand into the director's perspective. And the director's perspective was still the same as it always was, which is, you know, just keep talking about, you know, the intention is share the virtues, show how the virtues are the tools of this, the valuable critical tools of what we're experiencing. Because details tend to get us sometimes mucked up, where if we expand out, like the details of me in my own head sounding terrible on last week's show, Seneca, who doesn't understand the language, came and just trumped me with, you know, I put a king of spades down, she trumped me with the ace and goes, listen, I've never really been able to understand you, but I've always felt your meaning and got your meaning. And, you know, that was just such a profound response, because it really confirmed everything I've always known but had forgotten at that moment, that this is all about energy. This is all about a language that goes so beyond the words Janine and I share. This is the language of the organic Mother Earth, and that energy, you know, you can walk into walls, you can stumble with words. If you're authentic and you have a message to share from your heart, it goes out. It really does. Okay.
Well, you just said exactly what I was feeling, which is you know, as I'm listening, I'm in such a like a pensive listening space where it's almost like, wow, the vulnerability and your authenticity is really what I always feel. So I'm kind of like Seneca, and I speak English, and I'm like, Goldie, what are you talking about? You know, it's like, because your vulnerability and your authenticity and your willingness to show up, and even when you were activated, which I use that word, and you immediately jumped on that as a helpful understanding, that, you know, to be engaged with someone or relate with someone when they're so vulnerable and authentic, for me, there's nothing better. Like, it doesn't matter if you're activated, if you're in it, if you need, you know, to process, and, you know, we talk, and you surface and talk, and, you know, and we check in, and I can feel you're in it, and, you know, but it's so alive, it's so real, it's so authentic, it's so vulnerable, it's so beautiful to me, you know, that, and the willingness to show up and expose yourself and, you know, dare to drop the belief system of a need to look good, if you even had one, you know, because I know I did, and that was a big change for me when I really got in touch with that, you know, vulnerability and authenticity are everything. And, you know, and so this past 2 weeks, for numerous reasons, you know, starting with George, but like, yeah, when you reminded me again today and the other day, and you said that you had mentioned yourself as Cindy 3 times, and that was extraordinary. And it was extraordinary to me as extraordinarily useful, because what I really got was that, you know, this was no accident. This was you activating you to bring up what was there. And when you said, you know, and what was that? Wherever it is that in the past I did not feel safe, I did not feel
exactly
right.
Exactly.
So it was, you know, it was like, wow, stay with it. You know, the wave of discomfort. It's so important. It's here to you know, to, as we say, to become more Frederick Douglass, to free yourself, you know, to, you know. And so, again, I mean, because this is I'm just so naturally drawn to these transformative processes that, you know, you're in, I'm in, whoever we engage with is in, the integration process that, you, as it's going on, you're not quite sure, but when you look back, you go, oh, my God, there it is, integrating.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and it's so funny to me sometimes when I hear, you know, last week's show, to me, wasn't my experience with you, wasn't your experience, but it was your experience, so I honor that, you know.
Right on. No, right on.
Because,
right on.
Right,
maybe
because
if I listened today, it would sound different, not that I'm going to, because I'm good.
Right. And because, you know, you heard what you needed to hear, and, I mean, it's kind of like moving on, you know, and so.
Well, exactly. Well, and also, when we're activated, it really is, I think the filters are on, that everything feeds the activation. But that's the divinity. It's
supposed
to be the
activation.
With
purpose. Right,
exactly.
With purpose. Right. So, you know, I was part of your process in that, you know, I'm your friend, and I, you know, we check in, and I can feel it, and, you know, and I know this place so well. And then, you know, it's funny, because if anyone from last week remembers, Goldie goes, go insane.
Holy
like
shit, guys, I'm telling
you. Insane, you know? So,
because it truly is. You're going to have to go.
Yeah,
I promise
undone.
You, if you're listening, you're going to come undone. You're going to go insane. And you
and
know
that,
what?
That's not like a bad thing. That's a.
There
that's,
you go.
That's, you know, it's divine.
Speak
it's,
it, baby.
It's,
yes.
You know, you know, as I tell Goldie, I've died many times in the last 15 years. And obviously when you've died many times, you've been born many times. And so, you know, she's this birth thing, this this newness, this new person, you know, and
right on,
sort of,
right on,
right. So then for me, you know, the transformation process is something I write about. It's something I've experienced myself. I am experiencing, and with someone so authentic and vulnerable as you. And you at your best is when I feel your feelings. It's just awesome, you know. And
yeah.
And that really happened with George, with George's show, which, you know, truly the gift of all gifts is when someone offers their vulnerability, and you really did, and you honored me with your love for me, and it was just
right
beautiful.
On.
And then
right
and then
on.
It was sort of like, okay, you know, all bets are off because, you know, you've been pulled into the deepest part of the ocean now, you know. So because after that, quite a lot happened, you know. And I think it's kind of beautiful that, you know, there you were with the work schedule cleared up. And you were, you know, you were just like, it was like your whole landscape sort of cleared so you could go here, you know. By Friday, someone I was supposed to see on Friday canceled, and I could really feel the relief of that. Like, I was like, yeah, that feels good. I need the day open for me. And I could feel myself starting to a tension, but not a worry tension, but like a wave of discomfort was coming in, or sort of this, like, okay, I was very cognizant of it, and I was just with it, and it was just, you know, I was like, is the holiday bothering me? Not because of what the obvious reason would be, but, you know, I just don't relate to, like...
I'd share that. I think that's totally valuable. I liked when you were sharing that. I thought...
Yeah,
I think that has a lot
it was
of...
very subtle to me, but there was something, like, artificial, man-made, sort of declared what you do in holidays. They sort of, like... I just don't align with them, and I was going, is that what's bothering you, Jay? What is going on, you know? And I could feel it. And so I just, you know, like I said to Goldie, and I say to people and myself, like, just let it be, feel it, you know? And in fact, Goldie said something about discovering increments of time for me, but also the observer or the director or the higher self, or, you know, who says,
right,
it's okay, because there was a woman who's been dealing with the death of her husband, and, you know, I remember she asked me, you know, how do I deal when this terrible feeling of what his death activated comes up? And she called it like a mourning, but it was more than that. It had really activated all her vulnerability around her own well-being, her children's well-being. It just basically pulled her into that place of, you know. And I said to her, well, you're asking me, what do you do? I go, you don't really do anything, because there's no magic pill. This is not the process that you want to pretend it's not there or trick it away. I said,
right.
But what you can do, and this will help, and let me know, but what you can do is you can recognize that you're in this place. And that there's a part of you that goes, you're okay. You're just in this place that you've been pulled into because it activates your fear. You're feeling lost. You're sad. You're upset. You're angry. You're worried. I said, but there's a part of you that goes, it's okay to be there, but that you're okay overall. And if, see, I think that is a game changer, because all of a sudden you have that aspect of yourself that's, can recognize your hand, like Goldie was saying before, where you're not all in this whirlpool of this is the only place there is and there is no other place, because that's not accurate, you know. It,
right.
And so that was interesting, because that's something that you came across, and I've talked to people who really get pulled into these worry places or these panic places or the, you know. And another thing I talked to Goldie about is reference points. Because reference points are like when you find yourself in these places, and then you find that you're able to tell yourself you're in a place, you've been activated, it's the old stuff, let it happen, but you're okay. When you when you can do that, that becomes a reference point. Like you now have, you go, oh, yeah, remember when I was in this place and I told myself it's okay to be in here, but I'm okay. That becomes your reference point. And these are just ways that then you don't literally become your panic and think that that's who you are and that's all you are and, you know, there's no way out and this is it, you know, and
exactly.
Because it's not true. It isn't. So
exactly.
Yeah, so Friday, I'm feeling, you know, and I'm not even thinking Goldie, you know, goes, go insane. But anyway,
I don't just say this because I want us all to, you know,
I thought
start picking our nose and walking through the street.
No, it wasn't that kind of insane. No, it was, to me, what your message, go insane, is it have the courage to go insane. Have the courage to become undone. Have the courage to let stuff come up. You know, because, by the way, it's there anyway. It's not like,
absolutely.
You know, it's not
and
like
it's,
you went to
it's
this,
organic to let that
right,
happen.
Right,
this
the
is,
process is important. So,
right.
So anyway, here, you know, I could just feel it, you know, and it wasn't one thing in particular, but I was kind of feeling my next week's schedule, I think. You know, I wasn't really pinpointing that yet, but there was something. It was something. And by Saturday, you know, I was doing, talk about increments, like hour to hour. I was going, just do small things in the house, you know, like a little of this, a little of that. You know, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Oh, yeah, my son, I let him have my car, and I took his car, and I went and ran 3 miles, and that felt wonderful, and I was like, oh, good, and you know, got a lot of that out of me, and then I pull out of the park where I run in this beautiful place, and his muffler falls on the ground and starts going and dragging. I got to call a tow truck, you know. Now, the interesting thing is I kind of like when I don't have a car because there's something about, you know, you're just home and you're dealing with yourself and I don't know, there was something about
a nesting,
it.
Nesting, like a nesting
there,
involved?
Yeah, yeah. And there was something, you know, talk about, well, that's an interesting way to not have a car. But I, you know, I didn't. It was now towed away and went to the shop. And so I'm home now and I'm just feeling the tension. And then... Who pops into my head but this incredible climber, Alex Honnold. He's this 27-year-old rock climber who I just, when I watch on YouTube him climbing, there's something about his humbleness, as Goldie pointed out, his grace, his absolute opposite of adrenaline, but he's doing the most extraordinary things without any ropes. He's by himself, he's on the wall at Yosemite, and he's climbing, like, effortlessly, and I watch him, and there's something that it teaches me, or I get, and
yes.
And it was like, boy, you know, and I shared it with Goldie, and she really got it, too, that whatever it is, and this was a great reminder on Goldie's part, where I think this was Friday or something, or Saturday morning we were talking about.
I had a breakthrough
about,
on Friday, so that makes sense. Or Thursday,
we were,
Thursday or Friday. So I was
you
starting
said something
to, you
about
know.
The grace, you know, and the grace was so poignant to me about.
Yes,
and,
that was
and it's
Friday.
The way Alex Honnold climbs. It's with grace, and he's doing things that, you know, 99.9% of the population would just go, there's no way, you know. This guy is truly this gifted, beautiful, humble, non-adrenaline.
Well, and I'm not sure if everybody knows. He basically climbs the sides of like Yosemite National Park rocks, like these rock
yeah.
cliffs.
Yeah, like 2,000
and he does
vertical.
Vertical rock climbing without ropes. What is it
yeah,
called? Freestyling.
It's called solo free climbing and
free climbing. Okay,
free climbing solo, and the thing is it's just this. If you watch them, it's just this. It's not like a show off quality. It's not like a macho quality. It's not. He just is this beautiful.
Completely
soul.
The opposite. The completely
the opposite. Right.
Yeah, he's so and, present. You can. It's tangible. Watch the videos on both me and Janine's walls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch
Alex
Honnold. Watch him.
And You know, and
yeah,
because
he projects presence. That's
he does.
That's
he really
thing,
does.
He does.
And I knew. I was like, yeah. And I said, you know, it just, I was drawn, you know, Goldie was drawn to the woods. I had already run, but, you know, now I didn't have a car. And, I live kind of far from pretty much. And I thought, you know, let me just check out Alex, you know. And there's something he does with, yeah, he does. He projects presence and mastery and grace and
yes,
all the things that I admire and drawn to. He's just a great example, a role model for me.
I gotta make note. Yeah. The interviewer literally said to him, and I think everybody will resonate with this. The interviewer who was interviewing him goes, you know, okay, so you're up there, you know, you're 2,000 feet off the ground. You don't have. There's no nets. There's no ropes. You know, you're essentially, you're on your own.
Right.
When you get that adrenaline hit, because remember, what are most of us, you know, when we do, they talk about him being in an extreme sport. This is an extreme sport. And what is everybody always chasing in extreme sports? It's always,
right,
we're chasing
the rush.
The
right.
Adrenaline, the rush. And what Alex said when he brought up the adrenaline was, he goes, if I feel adrenaline, I'm fucked. Okay, he didn't say that word. He goes,
no, he said something
I'm
went
in trouble.
Wrong. Something went
something
wrong.
Something went wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's the peace.
It's the peace. And it's like, See, this is truly what looking at Alex's video is the understanding of us flipping our belief systems that the nervous system, we don't have to chase the adrenaline to lift the car. We've all been told that, how does grandma lift the car when little Johnny slips under the tire? They all say it's from adrenaline, but I'll tell you, the beings that I've been speaking with, and we'll be doing a show on Thursday about, he's going, it has nothing to do with adrenaline. It has everything to do with the mastery of the moment and understanding and knowing our potentials. We don't have to get pumped up. That is a very left-brained way to experience, quote-unquote, a high, but that high has also the pitfall of the crash.
Yeah, yeah, you're right,
you know,
it does.
It's a lie.
It's not really mastery to
it's
me.
It's not at all mastery.
No, because mastery is a whole other realm to me, you know, that was my Saturday and kind of into Sunday, and you know, just feeling sort of the overlay of the forced holidays, and I was like, really, you know, I could feel it, and you know, we'll call it torque or tension, and that's one of my, you know, I know creative tension. I've been interested when two people that I've worked with mentioned it 18 years ago about creativity and transformation. You know, creative tension is very important, and so you know I'm paying attention to that. And I know that, you know, I say to myself, you know, this is, and Goldie even said, oh, that's, you know, good. I called it like it's a wave of discomfort, and I go, Goldie, you know, I really see why people drink or do drugs when this is where, you know, it shows up in you or me or anyone, and you go, this is uncomfortable, but so what? Like, it's uncomfortable for a reason. It's a good thing because it's bringing your attention, and I think even the guy that you're going to talk to,
Daniel
Thursday
Jacobs,
night,
yes,
he talked
yes.
about that this, yes. this creative tension is purposeful because it's bringing your attention to an aspect of yourself that you're ready to integrate, you know, that you're ready to, you know, I talked to Goldie about my book and she's reading it. And I was so excited because she was getting so much of the integration part of it. And, you know, I was talking about Mary Shelley and how she wrote Frankenstein and, you know, how if you could be thinking that, oh, I identify with someone in the town that's like running after the monster going, kill the monster, kill the monster. And I'm going, But the monster is an aspect of ourselves. We want to invite the monster in. We want to befriend that part of ourselves. We don't want to kill it. You know, it's
right.
Actually,
because that's an illusion that you can kill it. I mean,
yeah. And first of all, it's important to identify that that is not a separate character or archetype. That is ourselves. You know, so
yes.
So
yeah.
I you know, I was literally. And this is a great example because Goldie could tell that I had tension in my voice this morning because I did.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and so she goes, you know, you haven't painted in a while. Maybe you should paint. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't painted in a while. And, you know, my studio is loaded with boxes of books and, you know, my painting stuff isn't really set up. And you know, then we dropped in to this conversation that,
mm. It was so yummy, guys.
It was truly, after I told her, I said, it's as if I did a painting. That's how I felt. I felt that I had moved the energy with her. I felt that there was a high level of creativity going on. It just was painting or dancing. And, you know, I said to Gold, you know, I can dance by myself, but you're fun to dance with. And, you know, and I can paint by myself, but Goldie was great to paint with. Today it was our conversation, and really I had so many insights during our conversation, but it was after that I realized, you know, so much of my work is about integration of all of me and how I put it into story, and then I see it later, and Goldie and I are talking and I'm going, oh my God, that's just like Neil did, you know, my little character. And she's
you guys gotta read The Yawning Rabbit Chronicles. Yawning Rabbit Chronicles. River.
Yes.
That was the word.
Right. But I left the conversation after we had it, you know, which could have went on for an hour and a half or two. I don't even know. But it felt so like I was like, I knew we were doing a radio show tonight, but I felt so like I had opened so many new places and integrated a lot of what was going on for me over the weekend, that it was just, and she felt it too, where there was just this whoosh of like clearness and clarity and openness. And it wasn't it wasn't like a blissful high. It was, you know, it was probably like Alex climbing. It was just presence, you know, and it was extraordinary, really, you know, in
it
a conversation.
It was extraordinary.
And
absolutely.
The thing is it couldn't have happened without the occurring tension and processing that she had been doing all week, which was very intense for her, and then what I dropped into over the weekend, which was, it was there. I mean, I could feel it, and I was going, so, let's go insane. Okay, so am I crazy? Because I'm feeling a little crazy. You know, and I was feeling crazy.
Me too.
And then, whatever that is, you know, it's kind of like pay attention. That's all I get. Pay attention. Stay with it. Stay with this. You know, and I do call it a wave of discomfort. My son Ryan is a pro surfer and he's an incredible rider of waves and seems to be fearless in the ocean and despite the large creatures that move about, you know, around him. But I relate to that, you know, riding the wave, and so I just stay with it, and you know, I so recommend it. And yes, support systems are good and important, and getting some, you know, feedback about, okay, you've been activated, because I when I said that, Goldie goes, that's it, that's the word.
Janine has this innate quality that when I'm spinning in the world of the unknown, chaos, fear, tension, torque, she'll literally just come in and go, boop, and she'll just drop me a knowledge bomb. Because I don't know about you guys, but it's almost like my left brain is absolutely losing its marbles, which is, I understand, part of the process of allowing the imagination and allowing these new frequencies and these new realities and the ability to traverse all these spaces to happen. But, you know, there's still a level of the left brain that when she drops these knowledge bombs, for some reason, she said activation, and I went, oh, my God, it just was like, it became this awareness that I went, okay, right on. And I came down 13 notches, you know,
yeah.
from DEFCON 14 down to DEFCON 7 or whatever, because it was like, you're right. And because it almost seems like when Janine puts a word on it, I go, oh, this is a process. You know,
right. Well, that's
I'm
true.
In the midst of something that you know about.
and it's useful and important, and it's, you know, and the thing is, it's like, you know, discovering gold. You know, it really is like, it is so important that this process occurs that, you know, the next thing you know, you're going, thank you for this process, which, of course, you know, a day before or 4 hours before, you'd be going, no way, I am not thanking anybody for this process. And it's like,
yeah, but
no.
The truth is, right, no, and that's true, but I'll tell you, we cannot get to the next level of awareness organically. And I'll tell you, though, I have spent 27 years of my life doing this from
yeah.
the mind, which tells me, you know, don't feel this. Take a drug so you don't feel it. Or believe me, when you're doing a technology that puts your mind in chaos, you have no time, space, or ambition to allow the natural emotions to come up because you're just so busy whacking out your mind that, you know.
True.
And
true.
I'll tell you, though, and here's what I got this week was, did it, you know, I did the technology, the Holosync, because I truly believe that it would, I mean, for lack of a better, put me at the head of the line, the front of the line, and speed up my ascension process. Okay, I'll speed it up. I won't wait for chaos to come to me. I'll take care of the chaos. Therefore,
right.
I must. But you know what? It's a chaos of the brain. It's not the organic chaos that when I was 5 years old and felt completely vulnerable, you know, and potentially was going to become frigid, that's not getting taken care of because that's not what's coming up. What, you know,
right.
what's coming up is I'm having a meltdown over picking 2% milk or 1% milk at the grocery store. I mean, those were the kind of breakdowns I was having because my brain was being, you know, scrambled in everyday life. So it
yeah,
just took an
yeah.
everyday occurrence. But there's no soul in that.
Yeah, and there's
I
no
can't
tricking
stress that
your
enough.
Way, you're no tricking your way through transformation.
You
there just isn't.
It's
and just,
there's no
you know,
there's no easy
and you
button
wouldn't want
Staples
to
people.
Anyway. I mean,
exactly.
The truth, you know, I mean, really, because you see that. You know, it is a birth process. There's like it's just a natural occurrence of us here, and you know, I think you know what I just got was how amazing is it when you know one person, two person, and then boom, 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 boom gets that you know, and then it's the thousands and the millions, but that the transformation process. Is nothing to be afraid of. It's just, you know, welcome it, go through it, because the best advice I got was from this woman in New York City, who said to me, when those feelings come up, and she didn't even have to go through what feelings, you know, tell me the list. I knew what she was talking about. You know, the feelings that Goldie was feeling, the I'm not safe feelings, the uncomfortable feelings, I'm not
totally vulnerable, and
right,
it's scaring
right,
the hell out of me.
Right. She said, just don't bring them close to you. Bring them in with you. Stay with them. And, you know, it was just such a passing comment, but somehow I heard her, and I stayed with it. And, you know, it wasn't like that was the first time I heard something like that. I've been doing years and years of that kind of work and going on vision quests and, you know, and facing fears. But there was something about when she said that the timing was so right that I got it at another level. I mean, Goldie and I talk about when something gets anchored in, there's just this just level of getting it. And I say to myself, wouldn't that be amazing if millions, thousands, you know, start getting the incredible, powerful of transformation and what that process actually is. Because all it is, you know, it's everybody's looking for the way to trick themselves through, and it's like, no, don't do that. You don't want to do that, you know.
You don't want to do that, right. Tricking yourself is the same as being deceived.
It literally is. You know, truly, there's no such thing. So it's kind of ironic, really, that you know, you can't trick yourself. I mean,
well,
you know,
I don't know. Well, I guess. Well, but I'll be honest with you.
You can't trick yourself because you will not transform. You will not get rid of what was. You know, what's been lurking down at the river bottom that, you know, you don't want to churn up. I mean, there's no.
That's true. But, you know, because I have this experience under my belt that says, you know, for the last 22 to 27 years, I've, you know, been thinking I'm doing this, and this, and the other thing. And, you know, I think it's coming down to, well, because my journey from my soul is it's an organic process.
Right.
I'm realizing that everything I did based on the mind to do it, which were both the drugs and the holosync, just didn't get me any further. You know, I'm pretty much back here with, you know, with the average person that is now integrating, you know, their shadow side. I'm no better ahead of the game, but I do believe we can trick ourselves in the sense of, I personally find that there's a lot of people supporting paradigms, whether they be extraterrestrial paradigms or angelic or religious or, you know, the Maitreya work, where, in my humble opinion, what they believe it to be and what I believe it to be is, well, I believe they're being deceived. And I'm
and it's an artificial overlay, and it's not truly an inner transformation. It's just not. It's
control, and it's going to take them, if they don't wake up by the time choices have to be made based on, you know, certain things going on planetary, because, like, you know, I'm kind of like with the whole George team, that inevitably everybody's belief system, and, you know, there's a lot of people that are going, okay, I'm on the organic path, but really when it comes down to it, it's almost like the people, how many people have you heard say, I'm a light worker, but boy, get in a car with them, you know, and watch a guy cut them off or a girl cut them off, and, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, you know, screaming obscenities at the person who cut you off, because personally, that's authentic as long as you own it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the people
owning it, and then to me that would be that you're even conscious that you just did that, you know, and that...
Right, that you're projecting your shit onto the driver.
Right. That's kill the monster if you're Frankenstein. It's like, wait
that's
a minute,
kill the
you know...
Exactly.
Right. Wait, you know, it's okay to, you know, I mean, some really artful cursing and stuff like that, but
well,
you know,
it is
least...
okay. Listen, everything's inherently neither good nor bad. It
right.
all depends on, in my humble opinion, what you want to look at is what's your motive for doing
yeah.
it? Are you
yeah.
doing it to avoid the pain? Are you doing it to avoid responsibility? Are you doing it, you know, to keep a denial going? And, you know, these are the tough questions, but if
or,
indeed...
Or just supporting that split. You know, talk about integration. What is integration when I think that the paradoxes start to, like, meld, you know? And so,
well,
you know,
exactly.
if you're not acknowledging the, you know, that you got pissed off and someone cut you off, and, you know, then you're supporting the split. You're supporting the polarity. You're supporting the,
exactly.
you know, right,
exactly.
the division, and that one is not aware of the other. See, you know, when one is aware of the other, then all of a sudden, like, that's when sort of the melding occurs, you know, where the living and the, as we spoke about this a lot last week, I think, about the paradox, and, you know, it's amazing what possibly...
And we did speak about that. I remember that, yes.
Yeah, that can pull us under, you know, because...
That's true. Well, the paradox of insanity is breakthrough.
Right. I mean, so, you know, and I think also I was speaking last week about, and I speak to that, spoke this about with you, but I just admire so much the willingness to show up. Now, whether, you know, we you know, are Alex Honnold and we climb the wall like beautiful, or you know what, maybe we stand at the bottom for a while and go, I think I'll sleep on this one. You know, but the willingness to show up is just so key to me. And I think it's, you know, it just makes me happy when you know, in both myself and both and you or anyone, just by showing up. It just says so much, you know, and I know that every aspect of ourselves knows that, you know, like, she's showing up, yay, you know.
Well, you know, because there's a truth in, you know, if your journey is the organic timeline, first of all, if that's what your soul has chosen, you cannot not show up.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It will. You're going to be compelled from within. You know, and I find it interesting because when I have shows like this and I'm talking about, you know, both of us are talking about an integration and the integration and the answers are, you know, put your hand on your heart, sit with your shit and just allow it to integrate until it's not integrating anymore. We'll start off with, you know, a lot of listeners and I see it dwindle down. You know, the people dropping off because, you know, it really comes down to it. If your soul is not intending an organic ascension, this is not going to resonate with you.
No.
You know,
no.
Because there's no way you're going to have the trust and the faith that the mind is not the answer. Because that's what we're really sharing right here. That the answer is trust. The organic process will do for us in grace what the mind will have us go to war to figure out doesn't work. I mean, I 10 years put myself in mental chaos. I mean, brainwave activity. You know, I didn't have to get abducted to do that. I voluntarily did that to myself. You know, like, I laugh because as I find the clarity, here, I'll give you the perfect analogy for what I'm saying. Dorothy misses a hot air balloon. Oh my God, how am I going to get home? And Glendola comes and goes, click your heels 3 times. And she goes, no way.
Yeah.
And Glenda goes, you could have always done that. Well, why didn't you tell me that? Because you wouldn't have believed me.
Yep.
I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but.
No, boy, it's very poignant.
Yeah.
No, and you know, it's funny because I was even saying today, after our conversation that was so extraordinary, and I was noticing, tracking knowing Goldie for 2 years, but it seems longer to me, you know, but the reason, one of the key reasons that I ended up doing an interview with her and then we became friends after that, was that I wrote this book called The Magic Gown, and that was, but 14 years prior to that, I did a vision quest on purpose to face the fear of the dark alone in the middle of nowhere. And in facing that fear and it embracing that fear and in the darkness was tremendous wisdom and gifts that I could not even imagine. And so it supports the don't just buy into the one aspect of yourself that, you know, that you're afraid, that you don't think that integrating the dark and facing the fierce and hanging in there in the wave of discomfort and staying with it is so paramount to the extraordinary gifts that come our way every day.
Including a
relationship that was completely unpredictable, as all the amazing things that have happened in my life are. You know, and there's no predict, but it wasn't because, you know, I went to do nice. I went to really face some difficult things, and, you know, that was the showing up part, you know. And I stayed in the dark for 2 nights by myself in the tent in the middle of nowhere, and I was scared. I did it, and it was like, You know, and out of that came all this incredible gifts of creativity and the books and the story, and then I get to be interviewed by Goldie, and that was, you know, what 18 years later, and
I was going to ask you what, how long ago was that? Right,
well, I know it was 1993 that I did that first, you know,
yeah, it's almost 19 years.
Okay, yeah. So, but my point is that I know that you say this even with the George interview, integrating the dark, and I'm going, but see, there's so much wisdom and power in, and you, because what you, when you said people are dropping off listening, because I really think that I can't promote this.
I think
enough.
They think we're crazy for the things we're like. I don't think they believe what we're saying. I think
right.
they're going bullshit. You know, I need to do something when I'm in that space. I can't. There's no trust that it could actually be a part
right.
of the divine journey. So it has to be, you know, acknowledged head on and conquered, quote unquote, conquered,
yeah.
battled. You know, it's the
yeah.
mind.
Right. Well, and for me, you know, like so. Yes, that's right. So. I guess I am truly a supporter and a promoter of the
you walk the talk,
the paradox part of ourselves, that where, you know, it's that yin and yang, that light and dark, that, you know, that you bring, that you don't forget that you're one or the other, that you're both, you know, and that
right.
neither one is like the good guy and the other one's the bad guy. They're you, they're us. Well, I mean,
absolutely,
you know, right?
Absolutely,
so,
it's so wise. So
yeah, so I, you know, this is when you did a whole, you know, 4 hours with George and integrating the dark, and I'm going, see, but you don't even realize, and then you're calling yourself Cindy, and you're just beautifully vulnerable, and you know, it's like, here we go.
Hold on, everybody.
But it was amazing, really. It was amazing,
no, right,
you know. Yeah.
And I want to share something. I want to share something that you've
sure.
shown me, Janine. And I think it's important for everybody to know this, because when you are going to, if you choose to do the processing through this, you know, truly just unconditional acceptance, that's really what it is. Unconditional acceptance in every moment, and which is so divine, because like Janine was saying, I almost quit the job that I'm at. Because this month I was promised 3 days a week in September, and it came down to I'm only working like, let's say if there was 3 days in a four-week period, that would be 3 times 4, that would be 12 working days. And this month I think I'm only working like 6. So 50% of my workload, you know, was not there. And initially I was like, I need to pay the bills. And I talked to my dad. He was like, don't worry about it. I'll adjust the rent. I mean, he was totally like, it's cool. Just stick with it. It took you long enough to find the job. Just stick with it. Where, of course, as I'm going through this total chaos, all of a sudden that becomes a gift.
Mm.
That, oh, I only got to be with the baby, you know, a few hours the rest of the time if I need the woods or whatever I need, if I whatever. It does. I'm free to integrate in any way that I see fit and not really have to deal with a family that really doesn't know me from, you know, Adam. So that's the first thing. But what I really want to share with everybody is that when you start doing this unconditional acceptance, people, it's so funny, because to become a master at accepting your shadow side, meaning you're not lashing out at other people, you know, I'm not saying you're not going to go insane. You're going to go insane. But it's a space that people will actually think you don't have problems because you're handling them so well. And that becomes, to me, you know, the big illusion. It's like, it's truly why I talk about it. Because, you know, I've been doing this on some level. You know, this is, I'm full-time now. Full-time. There are no, you know, I'm not building any more Merkabahs, and I'm not holosyncing. I'm, you know when I'm in chaos, and I just, you know, these are my tools, the tools I'm sharing with you tonight. And I can really sense that, you know, I can sense it just from watching how people interact with George. George has done a tremendous amount of integration work. And you can see that people tend to just go to him, you know, kind of wanting the information he can give about, you know, I get it, you know, about aliens and multi-dimensions. And I do, I really do understand that. But they really miss the point of, you know, that director's cut of, do you see how integrated George is? George is the peaceful being that, you know, almost anybody who follows George, we all feel his presence. I mean, it's just undeniable. And to be quite honest, I even felt Cynthia's presence as well the night that we did the roundtable. I'm just not as familiar with her journey. But I see how, you know, people kind of just, they've guru'd George. You know, it's like, you know, okay, well, whatever, you've integrated. But tell me about the human soldiers that are coming down the, you know, and it's like, that's literally just, because I'm getting the sense that the mind, after reading the Carla Turner books, which are really books highly focused and concentrated, focused alien agenda abductees. It's the alien agenda and the abductee from the abductee point of view, and I'm starting to see, I'm getting an awareness because there's a thread within the abductees. The aliens are constantly putting into their experience the whole idea that the world is going to end in a cataclysm of some kind. I mean, it's part of the agenda. It's because one of the clarities that I was seeking in this week of chaos that I was telling Janine was, I fit a lot of the symptoms of being an abductee. A lot of the symptoms. I mean, obsession with knowing how the universe works. The fact that I was, you know, petrified to be alone when I was a little girl, and I was afraid of doctors. I mean, highly afraid of doctors. My mom thought I was going to be frigid. There was, I mean, I'm reading these stories, recognizing my symbolism in it. My symptomology in these stories. And so I had to begin, and I don't know how many of you know, but I have been on a spaceship consciously during, quote-unquote, the technology of Holosync. I went on a ship, and I've always said I did not get abducted. I chose to go. I felt it was a choice. I don't know if it was or not after reading these stories, but at the time it felt like I was like, yeah, you know, I'm scared, but screw it, man. Let's play. You know, take me up, Scotty. But so what I was questioning was, okay, am I a repeated abductee? Do I have these implants? And what I got in looking at this clarity of myself was, first of all, that I don't believe that I'm a recurring abductee. And there's one specific reason why I don't believe it. Almost every one of the abductees that had reoccurring stories from Carla's books all had military showing up in, you know, physical military showing up in their house and, you know, drugging them with truth serums and we want to know what they told you and blah, 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 blah. And, I've never had that. So, but what I did get from it is an awareness that, and I think I got this from, I got this from Lisa Renee's newsletter. That doesn't mean, it seems to me the agenda and the program we are living in, and when I say the program, meaning our education, our media, our medicine, our insurance and health care, our religion, all of it is under the alien agenda. Because, you know, it started clicking to me, the rampantness of, you know, sexual abuse, and it's unbelievable how the aliens manipulate the humans from a sexual perspective. It's like, you know, I don't know if that's going on between the laboratory and the rats. You know, I would imagine not, but it is definitely going on in the alien agenda. And so what's so interesting is it seems that the agenda can affect enough people that it just becomes part of a family bloodlines. You know, because it seemed like when talk shows became all the buzz, out of the woodworks from everywhere. Everybody had been, it became clear to me that sexual molestation and sexual abuse was so rampant in this country. I mean, I just remember initially going, wow, I had no idea. You know, you think you're all by yourself until the world starts showing up as, you know, and I get it, you know, some people, you know, on the Jerry Springer show, you know, they were saying some really interesting things. But I, after reading the books by Carla, the people from Jerry Springer were the people coming from the country. And that's where the most abductions are happening. I mean, that's where the cattle mutilations are happening. Here, the bottom line that I'm trying to share with you guys is it's about awareness, because this idea that ignorance is bliss, that's an alien agenda, you know.
Yeah.
What you don't know can absolutely hurt you, but, and that's a big but, baby got back, but, but
yeah.
When you know and you've integrated whatever it is, the influence in your own life with, you know, it's like I don't have to make up that I've been, you know, repeatedly abducted. I at this level of awareness, I feel confident I have not been repeatedly abducted. I mean, I that's how I feel. If I get awareness to tell you otherwise, I'll share that with you. But that doesn't mean the influence of alien agendas has not affected my life, and not has, and I'm saying it's affected all of our lives. Because there's never been a time there was not an alien agenda on this planet, ever. So if you read the book by Carla, it might not be the personal experience, but the influence of what happens to them is the same influence that what's happening to us, even if the direct abduction hasn't taken place. So the ultimate, what it's telling me is integrate the shadow side, because as George put it so clearly, once we're in our presence, that trumps all the alien agenda. That even on some level, I believe, would trump the military.
Yeah.
You know, I believe it trumps reality, where, you know, I can tell you there was a time, you know, when I was getting chased by 13 cars as I was helping my friend Alana, you know, get out of a controlling relationship. And when we were driving that car being chased by, when I was driving my car being chased by 13 cars, whatever the truth, all I kept saying in my head was, you know, I will not stop until I'm surrounded by cops and nobody is going to lay a hand on me or Alana. And I'm telling you, we drove through stone walls. We drove over tree trunks. I drove the car in second gear. We drove through red lights. I was driving on the wrong side of the road. I mean, I was truly in an insane, maniac, crazy moment. And everything worked for us. Which is, this is something that I read today with the Daniel work, which said there's something about intention and desire that when we need to have something work for us, the universe is really, we're the creators. Like,
yeah.
We'll know miracles if it comes down to it where something is going on that you need your presence to get through the quote-unquote metaphoric or real minefield, you'll have it.
Yeah.
And you'll have it if it, most definitely in the sense, if you're doing the daily practice of sitting with the pieces that your soul is letting kind of dribble through, just the stuff that's showing up every day, whatever's showing up, if we take it in dribbles, when something happens, like maybe there's a mass landing on the White House lawn, or there's a tsunami coming your way, whatever it is, you, that presence will come into your being, and whether it tells you to leave a week before it happens, or it directs you to, you know, a shortcut to the mountain that's high enough that it, you know, the water level doesn't affect you, or it could tell you, listen, dive in, it's your time, but be at peace.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always about being saved. It's just this knowingness that it's okay, whatever is going on. I mean, it's such a powerful, powerful awareness and gift. I can't emphasize it enough. I truly can't. And I share it because I've had things in my life, because I've pushed the envelope on so many things, whether it was, you know, drugs or criminal activity. And there has always been some presence in me that has always, you know, protected me. You know, on some level, I can't explain to you why. You know, meaning all I can say is, you know, I believe if that's our soul's journey is going to trump our personality's journey. If our personality is getting us into trouble, our soul will let us go so far, but inevitably our soul is going to pull us out of, you know, the situation that ultimately can, you know, kill us.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm listening to you and what I get is that the willingness to kind of seek out or know the truth, it really is a choice, and it is there.
Absolutely.
For us if we choose it. And what's amazing is the title of the article that you sent me this morning with Lisa Renee, which is, the title is, How Much Are You Willing to Know? And last week we were talking about that with the seeking, like the willingness to see or know the truth, just the willingness there or the intention to know the truth. But you, like, once again, this isn't about deception or tricking ourselves to think that, you know, well, I only want to know what I'm comfortable with, because then
exactly.
then you really, that really, you know, that's okay, but that's not going to have the magnetism or the, as I see it, there's a momentum when you seek the truth that occurs as, you know, I just feel this. It's not something I've ever read or know, and I mentioned this in the beginning of the George conversation, that what I've noticed lately is the willingness to go through transformational processes, to ride a wave of creative tension or discomfort, to stay with it, to come out the other side, and truly, you know, it's no different than, but, you know, the physical act of what Frederick Douglass went through to free himself and get away from slavery, you know, that's very synonymous to what we do with ourselves individually, you know, to free ourselves. And so I, you know, I love this. I always use the word sober, but to me, sober means you have this state of being or clarity to at least invite in the truth and be willing to know. And so, you know, I see that for you, I mean, that's what I was hearing you say as you were saying some of this. And I was just looking at this article, How Much Are You Willing to Know? And one of the words,
I just posted it, by the way. It's in the chat room. So.
Oh, good. One of the words that pops up in the fourth line at the first paragraph is show up. and the next I see there's something about choice. And, you know, and I just see that because it did strike me that you saw that people dropped off, and who knows why that is. But that is possible that this isn't a very popular subject, because it's an invitation to know the truth. And the truth is, it's not like it has, you know, oh, it's so beautiful, or oh, it's, you know, oh no, God, that's awful. It's just, it's really the truth, and so
exactly.
It is a game changer, though, when the willingness to know and know the truth is your intention. It's not to bias it. It's not to color it. It's not to create a fantasy around it so that you can protect yourself from anything you don't really want to know. I mean, you can do that.
And everything you just said makes it, from a, you know, your basic media point of view, unmarketable. You can't sell the truth, because people, there's no drama. There's no, you can't shout it from the rooftops. You
right,
know,
and
it's about humility. Exactly.
Yeah. Right,
exactly.
And humbleness, and
yeah.
You know, the word glamour, you know, you used it.
Is not
name.
A part of it.
Right, and so, you know, yeah, so I find that, you know, talk about the power of words and, you know, because with the George conversation with Cynthia and you, and that whole interaction was incredibly powerful. The intention even still probably letting itself reveal it to me, you know, and then what we talked about last Monday, and, you know, And then you start, and then I also got drawn into read Carla's work, and I found it, you know, very much, I had similar, you know, fears of the dark at night as a very young child. Very, very, I did not understand. I thought from early on that my terror was not, quote, normal. I can understand how kids can be scared of the dark, but mine was...
Our fear is not organic. Our fear
right.
is so connected
right.
to the agenda, and that is not conspiracy. It,
no.
it is artificial. It's
right.
unbelievably...
No, I think that's accurate, Goldie. That's a very good
I
point.
Agree.
Because someone who's so close to nature as me, and someone who has, like, a natural sense of things, and I'm very drawn to... natural processes but
the subtle world. I mean, you're
right.
naturally in tune with the subtle.
Right. Yes, and it always struck me, which, you know, doesn't, you know, let's face it, like at 8 years old or 7 years old, for me to cognizantly go, this is abnormal terror. You know, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Right? So that was a giveaway to at least something artificial. You're right. And, you know, I really enjoyed reading the Carla stuff because once again, and whatever else the Carla stuff might lead you to, is it the willingness to know is really important. I didn't want not to look at it for the, you know, why? Why wouldn't I? I mean, if you're afraid of that, then you want to ask yourself, well, what is that about? You know, why? What could that possibly do to know? I mean, information is important, you know. I mean, that is truly, like, for me. The
information is key.
Right, because when I read Frederick Douglass, okay, yes, I'm a writer. I love books and words. But when I read Frederick Douglass years ago, I was so, it, you know, talk about being, like, hearing a word and going, that's it. I was so impressed, and that's no accident that I'm using that word, if you think about the word impressed, you know, it made an impression on me.
Impression,
right,
exactly.
Right. So is it by the power that he discovered by what knowing how to read and write would give him, so that he no longer could be kept ignorant from the truth and what he already knew to be wrong, which was the way he was
okay,
being treated.
Okay, just briefly share who Frederick Douglass is. I'm getting the sense that people don't know who
he okay.
is.
Okay, so Frederick Douglass was an African-American man, although they say that his father was a white slave owner.
Correct.
Back in, he was in Maryland in the 1800s. He was a slave, born into slavery, and often an exceptional person. He wrote a book about, and it's this small but incredibly powerful book called A Narrative of a Slave, written by myself. That, so he wrote it himself. It's, you really get,
there's
when you read it.
There's in that.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
There is such a gift of... knowledge and presence in that book that I truly think that if you're ready, there's a liberation quality that helps, because when I read it, and it was years ago, but I said to myself, this is such an important book for, you know, I'm like, now why aren't every school child, why isn't, you know, every school child should read this book, everybody should read this book, but what struck me was, the power was, for me, was when he recognized how much, it, you know, for him, reading and writing were key, and that was the knowledge to
right
free himself from slavery. And literally, he taught himself because it was taboo, and the white slave owners knew that if anyone learned to read or write, they would, that would be the end, that would end slavery after, obviously, very difficult times, but it was
the
key.
Keeping them ignorant was key.
But it was key, right. So if you apply that to yourself, you can, because this title of this article, The Willingness to Know, you know, or what, how much are you willing to know, it's really basically the same premise. I mean, you're informing yourself, you're liberating yourself by knowledge, you know, and not being afraid. Well, you can be afraid, but do it anyway. You know, it's like,
Well,
you know.
But right, but with knowledge, you remember when I said you dropped that knowledge bomb on me and you were like,
yeah.
Goldie, you've been activated. It's like, oh, wow. It's like all of a sudden I'm, instead of being 1,000 miles out to sea with no land in sight, I literally, I'm still in the middle of the ocean, but I can see land. And that,
yeah.
The hope that it brings that, okay, I am, you know, I can, it's just, it helps me handle the challenging situation that I'm in. And inevitably, now again, see, there's a balance with knowledge. Knowledge can help me handle it, but the organic process says truly, I cannot get through to the breakthrough until organically I'm done feeling it.
Right, because reading and writing didn't free Frederick Douglass. He freed himself.
It didn't.
He had to get on those trains and travel, you know, underground and risk his life. And, you know, I think he got caught once and put back again, and he had to do it again. I mean, that, you know, the knowledge doesn't make it, quote, no, easy ride, no. But, you know, just like for me, watching Alex Honnold, you know, it's not that, okay, you know, now that I've watched him climb a wall, I'm great. No, he represents something to me. He's you know, that's me watching me, you know, liberate myself.
Master life.
Handle things with grace and mastery and
exactly.
I just, but Frederick Douglass did that for me and, you know, many others. But, you know, it's just when you know it, you know it. And, you know, it'd be great.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, right. And so.
That's exactly right. Well, remember what I told you happened with the copy of his book with the cable guy who came over? You know,
yeah.
A cable guy comes out of nowhere, you know, again from, just so everybody knows, the link I just put up is Alex's YouTube link. I'm posting away. I'm like, everything
I
you
love
talking about. Post. Yeah, this is a good chat room. It's got everything. It's got the Carla PDF books. It's got the Energetic Synthesis newsletter. It's got both Janine's books, The Magic Gown and The Yawning Rabbit. Enjoy the links. Anyways, the cable guy comes over my house Cable comes over one day. See, this was another fear-based situation. Cable comes over one day because we had trouble with our phones. Our phones weren't working, me and my dad. Cable comes over and fixes it. But right before the guy leaves, he puts this device on downstairs to amplify our signal.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask him to do it. He just did it. And that night I get a headache, and I literally go into, what the hell is that device doing? I didn't ask for it. Get it the hell out of my house. You know, I'm going into you know how they talk about there's cordless boxes that show your energy intake. There's a name for them, and I can't think of the name. But because they're cordless, they're like radiating this, you know, really bad EMF field right in your home. And it wasn't that. He actually attached this thing to the cable line itself. But I didn't know that. So, you know, Goldie went into one of her, you know, calling cable, get your asses back here, take this thing out. We didn't ask for it. And cable was pretty good with it, and I could tell as the day was going on that the cable was supposed to show, I was feeling more and more insecure about the choice to be a bitch, you know, meaning, God, Goldie, you were kind of a bitch to cable, and, you know, maybe I didn't have the headache the following day as much as I did the day before, and to be honest, things were just getting screwed up. I was trying to unplug it myself, and I was screwing up with cable, and you know, my father's going, is something the matter? I'm like, yeah, cable screwed up everything, you know, and that was a lie. I was the one screwing with stuff. And to make a long story short, when the cable guy came over, and I don't remember his name, you know, short-term memory, I've been unplugged for the last week and a half, but a really, really grounded, open-minded... What was it, Joe? Maybe it
was
Joe.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't remember. I really don't remember.
Yeah, okay.
But he was open-minded, very considerate. You know, he wanted to make sure that I was pleased with what was going on and the choices that were being made. I mean, so considerate of, you know, very different. The guy who set the, who initially set the, this device up, all he kept saying was, don't forget to give me a good survey. You got to give me a good survey. And I was like, you know, because I said to him, how about if I give you $10? You know, I was like, here, let me tip you. No. You got to give me the good survey. You could just tell, you know, his head was way up the matrix's ass, and it was all about the survey, which seems to be everybody's gig right now. You know, get the good survey. You know, and I was like, wow, $10 would have gotten you a six-pack. But so, and you could tell the guy was, he was very macho looking, you know, his shirt was unbuttoned a little, and he was a good looking guy, not my type personally, but you know what I'm saying, it was the whole energy of, he just was telling me, you know, you know I did a good service here, so make sure you give me the good service. And I was like, okay, you have drilled me with this, I've got it. Where the guy who showed up the following day was so not that, and he ended up staying for like 2.5-3 hours. We got into conversations that were so intimate, I can't even tell you. I mean, it was just this bizarre interaction that at one point I went, and he was a black guy, and I was like, I need to give you a book. And he was like, okay. And you should have seen me running around like a maniac, because I had just moved home from Scott, so everything was still somewhat a little bit packed. I mean, it's not like my whole stuff, but the book was at Scott's, and then it was at home, and I'm running up and down. I'm checking in the car, and then I'm running back upstairs, checking in my healing room, and I'm running back downstairs to see if it's in the box under the pool table, and I'm running back upstairs. I mean, like, I really look like a maniac. Finally, I find it, and I'm like, I'm so glad I could give it to him before he left, because at one point I said, listen, maybe I'll have to mail it to you, because I really want you to have this before you leave tonight, but for the life of me, Frederick doesn't want to show up. So finally I did find it, and when I gave it to him, I mean, it was such a poignant moment where the conversation that we had that was intimate was really a metaphor for this gentleman to understand his own freedom based on his preferences, which, you know, I'm not going to share them simply because it was his private stuff, but you could tell he was very controlled by the people around him, and his preferences were so natural. There was, you know, I can see the world twisting it because it had to do with nudity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God forbid people want to be nude because they... You know, it's so funny. Go to a nude beach, and it's so... I've never been to one, but this is what I've heard, and I totally believe it. Nude beaches, nobody lures... What I mean by lure, you know, nobody has that, you know, creepy staring at the person feeling. Yet when you go on a regular beach where they put a string over your nipple and a string over your, you know, your hoochie, you know, that seems to make the difference where it's like everybody stares and... You know, the energy is so sexually perversive and, you know, because there's a string over the nipple. Like, you know, but the thing is, there is a difference because in the nudity beach, there's it's unconditional acceptance. I mean, that's it. And so, you know, because I told her, I was like, dude, Long Island has nude beaches. Go, you know, like. You know, because he was telling me he can't even talk about this in front of his wife. I'm like, you can't talk about being nude in front of your wife? You know, wow. And I was like, Goldie, relax. Don't make a big deal out of this. You know, like, he's still married to her, you know. It all struck me, you know. I was like, I get it. You know, might not want to open the door nude when, you know, your mailman shows up or your wife has company over. But it just shouldn't be something he's ashamed of. I mean,
but isn't it funny,
you know,
how you think?
And he was. Yeah, that was
exactly. And what a, you know, to be a slave to shame is just awful. You know,
it's the same type of prison as a guy with a whip, because it will keep you from your higher self. That's what shame does. Shame is the prison bars that keep you from that natural organic flow, where things just go bam, 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 in an effortless unfolding of events.
Yeah, shame does really weigh down the freedom of, you know, that David Hawkins book about healing and recovery, when he really, I don't know, he's got some kind of awareness of the levels of consciousness, and it was amazing to me, and I was surprised as well, that on the lowest scale of almost consciousness being suppressed, or almost like anti-life, so to speak, because the turning point is where you cross over to truth and courage, but below that is sort of these places where that keeps you down and literally, I will say, imprisoned. So,
yeah,
so
exactly.
What's interesting is the lowest one down there, with the most powerful one to keep you imprisoned, was shame. And I was like, wow.
And then think about the propaganda that I was just saying about how prevalent sexual misconduct of whatever kind is, because sexual molestation, abuse, misconduct, it's all, the first thing you got to heal is the shame. That's the
Because
first thing you got to
heal. It's very controlling.
Super controlling.
So, but you know what amazes me, like, throughout this whole story, and now I'm listening and to this story, and I'm going, how unpredictable was it that Goldie would be dissatisfied with the cable, the guy that, you know, first put it in? Who knows? It's almost like how I felt uncomfortable this weekend, and you're like, you're with it, and you're like, okay, so what? Where's this taking me? And it's so unpredictable. It took me to many places, but it took me to today's conversation, which with you this morning, which was just another unpredictable, extraordinary, the art of relating, opening doors, you know, myself, yourself. But what strikes me is, because I, you know, I'm fond of the art of relating, that
well,
you know,
because it matters.
The cable guy shows up. He leaves with the Frederick Douglass narrative of a slave that actually can be the knowledge dropper. What did you call it when I said you're being
knowledge
activated?
Bomb.
Knowledge bomb. That you literally handed this man a piece of knowledge.
Absolutely. But it was more than that. He was like, I've never, because he said to me at one point, he goes, you're glowing.
I remember you telling me.
And what's so funny about that, of course, was this was like a day or two after I had just come home from Scott. So I was really, I was not feeling, you know, glowing. You know, I was really going, damn, you know, where the hell am I? Okay, just deal with it. And he was seeing this, just a deep, there was a soul connection.
Definitely.
He was so genuinely like, I've never met anybody like you before. And I'm going, you've never met anybody who's unconditionally accepted you?
Right.
You know, and I say that, you want to meet people who unconditionally accept you? Look in the mirror. That is where all of us need to begin, this unconditional acceptance. Because once we can do it within ourselves, I think we'll find the people. You know, we will. The radio show is proof
without a
of
doubt.
That.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, because sort of the, you know, it was, you know, if there was some sort of time like time release, you know, shame was up.
Time release capsule.
And this man was ready to deal with some of it, and your interaction with him was part of that. And, you know, and so it begins. I mean, that he, you know, to me, that's always like that underlying, look what else is going on here. You know, there's so, like we were talking about today, about the multiverse and the multiplicity. And, you know, there's so much going on when we're in process. But now you've got this man coming, and you had just left Scott, and, you know, that was a whole process, and now he comes
absolutely.
In, and it's just so multiplicity going on, and
absolutely,
right, and, you know,
absolutely,
and that's
and
another awareness.
Trust that
right.
multiplicity, because you know, what we are awakening to is our multidimensionality. That is what, that's why we can integrate these shadow sides of ourselves, because it's almost like behind, when we integrate and just sit with our shadow side, there, you know, think about a puzzle. When it's all in pieces and you look at it and go, oh, my God. But then you ever notice that as the puzzle starts coming together more and more, you just start picking up pieces. And, oh, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, that's that, you know, momentum thing. Yeah,
it
yeah.
is a momentum. It
or
is.
Or magnetism.
And the,
or, yeah.
Yes, and the pictures start showing up and you're like, oh, I get it. You know, it becomes, it's not 1,000 pieces. It's one whole picture. I'm telling you, that's what's happening, because the picture that's coming together is our soul. I mean, this is the picture that will finally release us, if that's indeed where you want to go, from this prison, which is not a prison. You know, we signed up voluntarily, but shit, it feels like a prison. You know, it has been very challenging and very rewarding. And I truly believe that, you know, I know we're all tired. We are, you know, it's been a long journey, but let us not lose sight at the very end and get lazy at this point, even though the truth is we can't get lazy, because inside our souls are going, okay, get up, do the work. You know, we're compelled. We're compelled to integrate, because our soul goes, you're right, it's time to, we're packing up. We're packing up, gather the pieces that you've scattered across this cosmos in your separation, because and it's not that we're going back home to where we came from. We're going to the next leg of the journey. And the next leg of the journey is we're birthing ourselves into creators of light, the masters of the dimension we've just been in, which is the dimension of light.
It's wild.
You know, like,
And we have a new slang now when I'll go, hey, we just had a Frederick Douglass ourselves.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, come on, just go Frederick Douglass yourself. You got to free yourself, you know. It's so funny because.
Well, exactly. And you'll know it. You'll know when it. I mean, me and Janine laugh because we know when we're in it. And you'll know from your circle when you're in it. And definitely bring awareness to that it.
Yeah.
Because,
it
is those moments that will carry us through the chaotic ones. I mean, that's the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all about balance. This is not about perfection. It is absolutely okay to make mistakes, lose control, get angry, have a bad day. The key is just keep bringing it inside. Just keep taking, it's nobody else's fault but mine.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's the song that Led Zeppelin sings, that song, and George loves it. Because it really is all about self. There's nobody else out here. Being self-centered is a beautiful thing. It is not a negative thing. It's if you truly want to exit the matrix, not manage the matrix, but exit it.
Yeah.
Bring it all back home into self, and when the planet is ready to, you know, put us through the canal and out through the other side, you'll be going with it.
Wow.
We're 2 hours up.
Wow.
I know. If I was at high five, Janine. This is a great show. Great show. I love that Tricia and Sylvan were here, too. You guys are fantastic. And Seneca, I know Seneca's going to be listening, and Art. Oh, let me just say real quick, this Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Daniel Jacobs is coming on. I've been posting his articles on the energetic gateways and everything that George talks a lot about, the gateways. Daniel seems to have an ability to explain them from a really wise perspective. I highly recommend, if you're in the organic process, tune in Thursday night at 8 o'clock. It's going to be a great show. If not, no problem. Catch it during the archives. But it's definitely a show worth listening to. So,
I'll be tuning in.
Yeah, right on, baby. And where can they find you, Janine?
Okay. I have two websites. One is jlkimmel.com, jlkimmel.com, or springtreepress.com. And I'm on Facebook, and you'll catch me on Goldie's page if you can't find me, but it's Janine L. Kimmel. So thanks, Goldie, for a great show.
Right, and Amazon has both her books, the
yep.
Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle and The Magic Gown. Highly recommend both of them because they're absolutely talking about the organic process. I mean, Janine's living this whole process through everything she does. Her art is about this process. Her books are about this process. Her radio show is about this process.
Mm-hmm.
Her friendship is about this process. I mean, that's she's authentic. She's living it.
Thank you. Thank you. We're going to talk about that new book, so that'll be fun.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Sometime
now
soon.
That Goldie's coming back in, yes, and I'll have the book finished by next week. So within the next couple of weeks, we will devote
yeah.
an entire
yeah.
episode to the Yawning River Rabbit Chronicle. So.
Thanks.
Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. No.
That's it.
Yeah, Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. You picked a tough one with that, Janine.
I know, but it all makes sense. Don't worry.
No, it all makes beautiful sense. You make beautiful sense. I love you. I love you, love
I
you,
love
you.
I love you, too. I love you, too.
All right.
Thanks
so,
for listening.
So, yeah, I'm just going to put an outro. Yeah, I'm just going to do the other. I'm not going to
okay.
play a song. I don't have a song.
Okay.
keyed up, so we'll just do the outro, and we look forward to seeing everybody on Thursday, and of course the next Monday to, you know, to share our journey as it unfolds. So everybody have a great night and
night.
And a great life. All right, take care, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Oh.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh,
bye.
I'm so glad we had time together.
Have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.